The epistle for the fifth Sunday in Lent is written in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 15. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Amen. Holy Father, sanctify us in the truth, thy word is truth. Amen. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday has traditionally been called Passion Sunday, because we are getting closer to the Passion of our Lord. We learn in the Gospel text how the Jews are about to kill Jesus because he has told them that he is before Abraham was. He has clearly told them that he is the eternal Son of God, that he is from eternity, that he existed before Abraham. The text, the Gospel text for today, shows both the divinity of Jesus and points to his suffering. In the Epistle text, which is the sermon text, we learn about the significance of Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary, which the author of Hebrews explains from the temple of the Old Testament. Here we learn how Jesus is both high priest and the sacrificial animal, and also in a way he is the tabernacle or the temple itself or the veil to the Holy of Holies at least. It needed several pictures in the Old Testament to explain the work of the coming Messiah. And these pictures and illustrations are now unfolded in the book of Hebrews. But in order to understand the book of Hebrews, we need to look a bit back in salvation history. The background for this Sunday's text talk about Jesus as a high priest and temple must be found first in Genesis 1-3, and then after that in the books of Moses, when they talk about the sacrificial cult and the temple cult. In Genesis, Adam is pictured as a priest. He was ordained as a priest, or he was put in the garden as a priest. The words usually translated by cultivating or guarding the garden in Genesis 2 are similar to the words of the priesthood about the work of the priesthood in the Old Testament, and also Israel's observance of God's commandments. Adam and the Garden of Eden itself is described in a temple-like way, and later on the tabernacle and the temple are described as a garden-like thing. So there is a connection between the Garden of Eden as a kind of first temple where Adam worshipped in the presence of God as priest, and then the later temple worship. But Adam failed to serve God. There were the two trees in the midst of the garden, and he worshipped God by obeying God's commandment of not eating from the tree of knowledge. But he disobeyed, and he fell into sin. And he sinned against his priestly calling, first by letting the serpent enter the garden, then by by not stopping Eve, and also in a way by not offering himself as an atonement. He was the only possible atonement for sin. But instead he also followed Eve and sinned. Now Adam and Eve were then expelled from Eden, from God's presence. And mankind has been expelled from the presence of God from Eden since then. And the Garden of Eden was guarded by cherubs to the east. So they went east out of the garden. Later, God called Abraham and then Israel out of Egypt, and he gave them first the moral law on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and that would show them what it would take to draw near to God, namely to obey God and to stop sinning. But they did not keep the law, and God already then gave them a way to be in the presence of God in spite of their sins. He gave them the sanctuary, first the tabernacle and then the temple, or the tent of meeting and then the temple afterwards. But it was all made after what Moses saw in heaven, after a heavenly temple. But this was the way to for Israel to live in the presence of God through this sanctuary. God was present in the Holy of Holies and was over the cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant. But on the way into the Holy of Holies, the high priest would go through the veil, which has had these cherubims on it, just like the cherubims that guarded the way to Eden. And they were going, and the priest would go westward. So it would be like going, in a way, figuratively back to Eden. And that's how, really, the tabernacle is pictured in the Old Testament, as in a way going back to Eden, going back to the presence of God. So this should show that this tabernacle was a way to come back in a way into the presence of God. In Leviticus 10, however, Abihu and Nadab die as they enter the tabernacle with a foreign or alien fire. And it's unclear what this alien fire is, but they somehow disregarded the presence of God, and one might think that they thought they could enter the Holy of Holies without being high priests and without doing it the proper way. At least in Leviticus 16, when we learn about the day, Great Day of Atonement, this is the background of the Day of Atonement, that Abihu and Nadab died, and then God gives directions about how to enter the Holy of Holies on that day without dying. And the high priest, he can enter the Holy of Holies once every year on the Day of Atonement, where he has to sacrifice, make a sacrifice for himself, and then also a sacrifice for Israel. And atonement is made for Israel by sacrificing a goat, and the blood of the goat is then used to cleanse the tent and the veil and the altar, which has all been defiled by the sins of Israel. So there's two parts of this sacrifice. First, it is sacrificed to God, and then the blood is used for purification of the temple, just as the people are also purified with blood. And then another goat is sent out into the wilderness with the sins of Israel on it. It is sent in the opposite direction as the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. So in a way it is sent away from the presence of God. This was all just a temporary arrangement. After Israel was exiled to Babylon because of its sin and returned to Jerusalem, God did not show his glory in the temple again as he had done both when the tabernacle was made and also when Solomon built the temple. And this showed that something was lacking here. And Hebrews tells us also about how this was temporary. The book of Hebrews talks about Jesus as a new Adam in Hebrews 1:1-14 and 2:1-18, who fulfills what Adam did not fulfill. And then it portrays Jesus as the great high priest, who is to be high priest in the line of Melchizedek. And then right before today's text, it says about the old tent of meeting or tabernacle as a picture of the new. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section performing the ritual duties. But into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing. So the first tent is an image of the new, and the fact that he can only go into the Holy of Holies once a year with blood shows that that the way into the holy places, into the presence of God, is not yet opened. And then it continues, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshipper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. Could also say cleansing of the conscience. So the sacrifices and purifications could not really purify, but they were images of this future atonement and purification. And then we get to today's text, which talks first about the eternal redemption of Christ as our high priest and our tent or tabernacle. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. So it says here that Jesus is the high priest for the things that have come, or the coming things. He would provide not only carnal blessings, but eternal life and the new earth as an inheritance. Now, what is this larger and more perfect tent, a greater and more perfect tent? It is the tent of which the ancient tent of meeting was just a picture. It is one not made by hands, and it does not belong to the created world. It is, in a way, the presence of God. The Holy of Holies was the presence of God. And, in a way, it is also the means to this presence of God. The tent itself was not the presence of God, but God was present in the tent, in the Holy of Holies. And this new and better tent is both where the presence of God is, but also the means through which we can enter the presence of God. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. So first it says that that he entered through the greater and more perfect tent. And then it says that he entered the holy places by means of his own blood. So in a way, his blood is the tent through which he entered the holy places, the holy of holies. He went into the holy of holies, but it was by his own blood as means. And this is a parallel to verse 11, which says that it was through the greater tent. So the greater tent is in a way his blood. There is a parallel to this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20, where it talks about how we can enter the holy places or the holy of holies. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. So here it talks about how we enter the holy places through the blood of Jesus, but also that we do it through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. So there it talks about the flesh of Christ as being the curtain through which we enter the Holy of Holies. So in a way, the Holy of Holies is the presence of God, but the tent through which we enter this Holy of Holies, and through which Christ entered the Holy of Holies, is his sacrifice, his body and blood that he sacrificed, and also the way we can enter it is through his body and blood. And we'll return to that, how we enter the Holy of Holies. Now then we might ask, when did Christ enter the Holy of Holies? How did he enter? Was it through his humiliation or his exaltation? Well, both in a way, but they have different functions. His death and blood were not the time when he entered the Holy of Holies, but it was the means through which he entered the Holy of Holies. It was the means or curtain through which he gained access to the Holy of Holies. But did he not already have access to the presence of God? One might ask. He is the Son of God after all, and he is one with the Father. He was before Abraham was, as we learn in today's gospel text. Yes, by virtue of his divinity, he was one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But he had descended and he had assumed a human nature into his person, and this was a sin, not a sinful human nature, but a sinless human nature, which was still under the condemnation of God. So, like Moses went down to Egypt and brought Israel back, he went down to this sinful world and assumed a human nature in order to bring it back into the presence of God. So he is, so to speak, a new Adam. He has assumed a human nature, truly become human without sin, but a human nature, he assumed a human nature that is under the sin and the penalty, under the penalties of sin and condemnation, and he has reversed the exile of Adam by going back to the holy places, and he has done that through his death and blood, by his sacrifice and humiliation. But the very access to the sanctuary, to the presence of God, is given in his resurrection and ascension, his exaltation, where he, as a man, as a human being, as the new Adam, as a high priest, has been put at the right hand of the Father, as we learn in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. Now the point in what we are saying is this: we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. So in a way, the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, is the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, where Christ has been seated. And he has entered heaven and been seated at the right hand of God, being put as a minister in the Holy of Holies, as a man. His death, his suffering, his obedience to the law was the means by which he gained this access as man. But he received it through his exaltation. He won it by his sacrifice. His sacrifice was the curtain, was the tent through which he entered. But he entered at his exaltation. As we'll learn in the next verse, it was also by virtue of his divinity that his sacrifice could win eternal redemption. It was by his eternal spirit. And that also tells us that this was what was not created by man, this eternal spirit of his, by virtue of which he could win forgiveness of sins. He who himself is eternal life suffered and died as man, and thereby won an eternal redemption that can redeem all the people of the whole world. He won a righteousness for all men, because he is an eternal spirit. And he did this as man and God. But he was exalted not as God, because he was already one with God, the Father and the Holy Spirit. But as man, he was given all of this in his exaltation. In his exaltation, he was seated at the right hand of the Majesty, and thus he entered the heavenly sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, as our High Priest. But how is this eternal redemption applied to us, we might ask? And the book of Hebrews continues. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He's comparing the lesser with the greater here. If the blood of goats and bulls on the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer could sanctify in a fleshly way, then how much more with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, that is through his divinity, offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So here we see that the man who died on the cross is also true God. And it was on account of his divinity that his body and blood could win this eternal redemption. Just as the animals in the Old Testament were sacrificed to God and the blood was collected to then purify persons and the things of the sanctuary, so it also is with the sacrifice of Christ. He has once and for all sacrificed himself to God, and this sacrifice is never repeated. There is no repetition of the sacrifice of Christ. That has happened once for all. But there is an application of the body and blood of Christ which was sacrificed. His blood now cleanses us from sin, purifies us from our uncleanness and sin. And it does so through his word and sacraments. So the body and blood of Christ do not only have historical significance. This is how it is often understood by many non-Lutherans, that the body of blood and the body and blood of Christ and basically his human nature only was only used in meriting our justification before God. It was only used historically. That is not true. His body and blood is applied to. His blood cleanses us now. He is present now as a human being and purifies us with his blood. Just like his eternal spirit made his sacrifice on the cross gained it eternal value so that it could gain eternal life and eternal redemption. So in the same way, his eternal spirit makes his body and blood omnipresent, so it can be present with us now and cleanse us from sin. In baptism, we are purified through the blood of Christ, and in the sacrament of the altar, we receive his very body and blood. And by faith, we are united to him, not through his divine nature, which would kill us, but through the nature by which he is connected to us, namely his human nature. And this is how we can then serve God, that is, worship God, both with worship and good works, through the redemption in Christ, through having been cleansed from all our sins. And thus we receive access to the sanctuary, the presence of God. As we read before also in Hebrews 10:19-20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. This isn't just about remembering his flesh or his blood. No, we can enter the holy places, the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus and through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. It is through his human nature, his flesh and blood, that he gives us access to the presence of God. It is not through his divine glory that we are brought into the presence of God. No, that would destroy us just like it destroyed the sons of Aaron. No, it is through the human nature with which he has redeemed us by shedding his blood, sacrificing his body, and letting his soul be rejected by God, just like the goat was sent away from the tent of meeting, carrying the sins of Israel. As the high priest of Israel represented the people of Israel and brought atonement for their sins, Christ has atoned for the sins of his people, and he is now cleansing them through baptism and faith, so that they are entering the Holy of Holies through his body and blood. Through his blood with which he cleanses us in baptism, and through his body into which we are incorporated through baptism. We are one body with him through baptism, through being buried and raised with him in holy baptism. So that we also, through his body, through becoming members of his body, through being incorporated into his human nature, can also enter the sanctuary, enter the Holy of Holies, stand in the presence of God without dying, without being condemned. So he has opened a way back to the presence of God through the guarding cherubims by sacrificing himself. And he has opened it in such a way that we can enter through our union with him. We receive his body and blood bodily also through the sacrament of the altar, but by faith we also receive it spiritually and are united with him, so that we have everything that he has won. As Jesus says in John 6, 54-56, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So we abide in him when we are united to him through baptism and the Lord's Supper and faith, which receives it. And through that we abide in him, and then through him we gain access to the Holy of Holies, because his redemption becomes ours, and we are cleansed from our sins through his blood. He has brought his human nature into the heavenly sanctuary, and now he brings us with him when we are united to him, just like Moses brought the people with him from Egypt. Then Hebrews continues, therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. He has become the mediator of the new covenant that was prophesied to Jeremiah. The old covenant, which was the covenant of the law, was broken by Israel. But a death has taken place that can redeem from the transgressions of this covenant, the death of Christ. The new covenant that Jeremiah prophesies will be based on the remission of sins, as Hebrews also says when it quotes Jeremiah, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more, in Hebrews 8:12. Those who are called will then receive the eternal inheritance, the text says. The inheritance is eternal life in the presence of God as children of God. It is an inheritance that Christ has won for us and that we receive through him. As Hebrews 1 also say, just before it speaks of Jesus' ascension and sitting at the right hand of the Father after completing the cleansing from our sins. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Now Christ was the Son of God from eternity, but God has then appointed him the heir of all things. And this he has done to him as man, as a new Adam, who has won the inheritance on behalf of his people. And this he has done through his exaltation, because he's talking about the ascension and the seating at the right hand of God here. So Christ being made the heir of all things is really the same as him entering the holy places as a high priest. It is where he receives the access to God as and being in the presence of God under the grace of God, not on account of his divinity, but on account of his humanity. And we become heirs through our connection with him. So Jesus, as man, paved the way to the presence of God with his suffering and death through his flesh and blood. And Jesus came into the presence of God as man by his exaltation, when he took the took seat at the right hand of the Father as high priest and heir to all things. And we gain access to the sanctuary through his flesh and blood, through union with him, a union that happens through his human nature by which he has become our brother. And we are united with him by the word and the sacraments and through faith. There he is present not in his divine glory but as a human being, and he cleanses us from sin and takes us by his flesh into the heavenly sanctuary in the presence of God. And when we enter the heavenly sanctuary through the body of Christ, through his human nature, we will not die. We are justified before God through him, so that we will not be killed by his presence. And therefore he can also dwell in us as God, so that we become temples of God, where God dwells. But this happens because we have been justified through our union with Christ, our high priest, who entered first into the Holy of Holies by his sacrifice. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.